Welcome to the Masterclass of One with Zig Ziglar Master Coach David Creel. It's called the Masterclass of One because it's about the person David is speaking to, but you can listen and act like David is asking you the questions. Then go and apply them and change your life. If you want to create impact in the lives of others, increase your personal income, and be a more productive and efficient human being, you're in the right place. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, David Creel, Certified Master Ziglar Coach. With the seventh of seven solo episodes going over the Ziglar Wheel of Life. Ziglar Wheel of Life was created by Zig Ziglar several decades ago, and it goes over the seven areas of life that truly matter: mental, spiritual, physical, family, financial, personal, and career. Of those, the three most important are mental, spiritual, and physical, because we're mental, spiritual, and physical human beings. And in previous episodes, we went through the rest of them. And today, we're going to talk about the career spoke. So rate yourself 1 to 10. In all those areas, 1 being terrible and 10 being awesome, and rate yourself. And you can draw a little wheel out. You know, if you're on YouTube watching this, see, there's a little wheel. And then you rate yourself on the wheel. And then you connect the dots. And you see if maybe you have a bumpy ride somewhere. So, the career. Do you love what you do? If you don't love what you do, do you at least like what you do? Maybe that you don't love or like all of what you do, but 80, 85, 90% of the time you really love what you do. Is that true for you? Or are you on the, I don't really care for my job, or worse, I hate my job? What are you? If you're on the hate your job aspect, let's address that one first. If you hate your job, why do you continue working there or doing whatever it is you do? I know what you're saying. I know, I got bills. Yeah, who doesn't? Join the crowd. I didn't say don't work to pay your bills, but maybe you go get an interview and go get a job doing something you want to do, or you would like to do, or be okay with doing. I mean, okay, being okay with doing something is not ideal by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not like you're hating it, okay? Because as I heard it said, what we hate dies. Oof. So think about it. If you just absolutely hate your job, maybe you call in sick when you're not really sick. Or you do something to self-sabotage a promotion because you hate it so much. Or whatever. But if you do hate your job, what if you focused on, there has to be something that you don't hate about your job. So why don't in the morning, and while you go look for another job, why don't you tell yourself what you at least can tolerate about your job? Preferably love. But tolerate's way better than hate. So maybe what's one thing you at least tolerate or like or borderline love or actually love about your job? My guess is if you're going to a job, they probably pay you. Because you might be telling yourself, I don't love nothing about my job. Well, if they're paying you, you probably like getting paid, right? Well, yeah, of course I love getting paid. Okay, well, that's one thing you like about your job. You like getting paid. You're not doing it for your health. Okay? But maybe make a list of the things you do like or love, or at least are tolerated with your job. And then, you know, go. Now, if your job is doing stuff that's, you know, illegal or immoral, you need to get out of there like by sundown and go figure it out. But if that's not, or if you're, you know, whatever, okay, you need to get out of there. But if that's not the case, and the vast majority of people aren't in that scenario, there's nothing stopping you from going to apply for a different job. Go and do something you like. You know, especially, I wore this shirt specifically for the people on the podcast. You can see it on YouTube. I got an Under Armour shirt on that's got kind of the American flag on the Under Armour logo. So especially if you live in this country, in America, yes, we have our problems. 100% we have our problems. But what we also have is capitalism too. And it's the greatest economic system that's ever been in existence. Because in America, this is the only land that you can actually start with nothing and make something out of yourself. You know, if you happen to be born in, you know, a communist country, well, your hands are kind of tied because they're going to do what they're going to do. But if you live in America or a capitalistic environment, you know, the UK, Australia, wherever, you've got a chance. Okay. So for your job, here's another question to think about. Did you choose what you're currently doing? Or was it chosen for you? You know, I talked to someone, a previous client, and he was going for his doctorate degree in business. Cool. Okay, no problem. It's fine. But then I asked him, what are you going to do with that doctorate in business? And he said he's going to open a coffee shop. Okay. I said, have you ever worked in a coffee shop before? He said, no. I said, have you ever ran a business before? No. Are you aware that you don't have a doctorate degree to run a coffee shop? Then he says, well, my mom and my uncle and my cousin all have their doctorate degrees. And I said, what does that do with you? That doesn't mean you have to have a doctorate degree. Just because they have one, that doesn't mean you have to have one. And there's nothing wrong with getting a doctorate degree. If that's what you want to go do, knock your lights out. But that doesn't mean it's required. Because when it came down to it, he was getting a doctorate degree because his parents had a doctorate degree or his mom had a doctorate degree. So are you doing something that your parents wanted you to do or whoever your caretakers were? Or are you doing something because you wanted to do it? Something to think about. There's a lot of things that we can do with our jobs. A lot of ways to earn an income. Side note, I specifically said earn there because when you go to your job or whatever it is you do to earn an income, you don't go make money. The only people who make money work at the mint. Everyone else has to earn money. Okay. So however you earn your income, there's a lot of things you can do to earn an income. Gay Hendricks in the book, The Big Leap, talks about four levels that people go through. Number one, the zone of incompetence. You don't know what you don't know. For example, somebody walks into this house right now and says, I need you to play this piccolo or this flute. I've never played a flute in my whole life. I have no clue how to do it. No clue. I don't know how to hold the thing. I don't know how to make any noise. So I don't have the slightest clue. Or someone comes up and says, here's all the parts for this watch, and I want you to assemble this watch. I don't have the slightest clue how to do that. I'm incompetent about it. I don't know what I don't know. I have no clue. Then the next level, these may not be exactly, the first two might not be exactly right, but the last two 100% are. So zone of incompetence, okay? The next level up is zone of competence. I know what I know. For example, I know how to play golf. I've taught people how to play golf for money. And I know how to play golf. So if somebody puts a set of golf clubs right here and say, I want you to hit this ball across the street, it's no problem. Now, I'm sitting down, so I may have to swing a little bit, but I know how to hit the ball. And we all have our zones of competence. You know what you know. The next zone, going up the ladder, say the bottom zone is zone of incompetence, then it's zone of competence, then the next zone is the zone of excellence. The zone of excellence is you have the ability to do something very well. Let's say you're you have the ability to do something. So let's say you're a engineer. Okay, I'm just making this up. I have no idea. You're an engineer. Okay, so you have the knowledge and the skills to be able to do whatever you do for engineering, whatever your discipline is in engineering, you know, mechanical or structural or whatever engineer you are, civil. And you have the ability to do it. You're good at what you do. But a lot of people get stuck there in the zone of excellence. Think a professional athlete. Okay. So let's say you're a baseball player. Okay. Whenever you first pick up a bat, you don't know how to hold the thing. You don't know how to swing. You don't know how to put on a glove or throw or catch. You don't know how to do any of these things. You know how to run, most likely, but you don't know how to bunt. You don't know how to do any of these things. You don't know how to catch a fly ball or field a grounder. So you're incompetent about baseball because you've never played it or you've never even seen it, okay? Then you get to where you're competent. You can throw, you can catch, you can hit, you can run, you can bunt, you can tag people. You can catch fly balls. You can catch grounders. You can catch grounders with one hand. You can use two hands. You're competent at what you do. Whenever you achieve a level of excellence, say you're drafted by a big league team and you work your way through single A, double A, triple A, and you get the call to the big show and you're going to the majors. So, you know, you get drafted by the Houston Astros and you work your way from single A to double A to triple A, and they call you and they say, we had an injury and we've been watching you. You're pitching at Minute Maid tonight. So let's go. Okay. That still could be excellent. You could be an outstanding baseball player and get paid very handsomely for playing a game, which I'm not hating because I think it's awesome. Okay. But a lot of people get stuck in excellence. Like, excellence is, it's good. It's quality work. But there's a level above that. Your zone of genius. See, that's the standard. That's where we want to get to. The zone of genius is whatever you're doing, time flies. And you lose track of time. You may forget to eat. You're having so much fun. Another way to say that, it may be you're in flow or you're in the zone. Like, you know, we've all heard basketball players who had a lot of points one game. Say they had 50 points or 60 points, 40 points. And they ask them, what were you thinking during the game that allowed you to have that many baskets? And more often than not, almost every time they say, I wasn't thinking about anything. I was just getting the ball, seeing the target, and shooting the ball. Free and easy. And when you get in the zone or you're in flow, especially like a sporting event, the basketball goal is, you know, the rim is whatever, 18 inches or however big the rim is. Whenever those guys get where they're feeling it, it's almost like trying to hit the ocean from the deck of a battleship. I mean, the rim looks like it's a 55-gallon drum. It looks like it's just gigantic and everything they shoot is going to go in. That's when they're in their zone of excellence. But now, not just sports. What do you do in your daily job or your daily life that time flies by? One of the things for me is this right here, what I'm doing. When I'm doing this, like this podcast, or when I'm coaching someone, flies. I mean, a couple days ago, I had a call with someone, supposed to be a 40-minute call, 40-minute call. I've got a big clock right here on my, right below my monitor. 40-minute calls were supposed to be, but I love this stuff. I love coaching people. I wasn't looking at the clock, and it's right here. It's 2 inches below my monitor, and it's a big white clock with white letters or white numbers, white numbers. After our call, I looked down right before we ended the call. I looked down at my clock and it had been 2 hours and we were supposed to have 40 minutes, but I wasn't looking at the clock and it felt like about 10 minutes. That's what happens when you get in your zone of excellence. I mean, your zone of genius. Your zone of genius is time flies. let's go back to the baseball example. The guy who gets drafted is a good Major League Baseball player. That's zone of excellence. But then you have the upper echelon of players. Mike Trout, Nolan Ryan, King Griffey Jr., Roger Clemens, John Smoltz, Frank Thomas, Pete Rose, and they're the greatest of the great. Zone of genius. Now, you don't have to be baseball, but your zone of genius, you do it so well that you can literally become world class. Let's say, you know, like think an Olympian. They're world class. I mean, if you win an Olympic gold medal or gold or silver or bronze, I mean, yeah, everybody wants to win gold. But the bottom line is there can only be one person that wins gold. Can't have two gold medals. But of the 7.5 or so billion people on the planet, if you finish third in the Olympics, if you make it to the Olympics, that's an accomplishment. But if you get on the medal stand and you finish third in the Olympics, you can literally say you're the third best in the world, which is not terrible. Okay. Now, obviously, second best. And then first best, there's only one gold medal. But if you did that, you know, you win the 100 meter or you win the high jump or whatever, you're the best in the world, which is pretty cool. Okay. But the thing is, we can't let the zone of excellence think that's our ceiling if we're not finding times where we're in flow or in the zone more often than not. Because the level above that is the zone of genius. That's something, the one or two or three things that you and only you can do. For example, in my coaching, I can't have someone coach someone else for me. Because then they would be coaching them, not me. Because for me to coach people, I actually have to talk to people or get to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? So let's say you're an accountant and you love numbers. Maybe the trick should be, let's figure out what your zone of genius is, the one or two or three things that you can do better than anyone else, and see if we can fill more of your time with that. The zone of excellence is fine. It's way better than the zone of competence and incompetence. But there's another level, the zone of genius. Les Brown said this: a job is what you're paid for, and a calling is what you're made for. And I've been on that journey since about 2008. I've been thinking, you know, what do I want to do? And then when I found it, I try to spend as much time as possible coaching people, because that's my zone of genius. When I'm coaching people, or when I'm helping facilitating a group coaching call, or when I'm doing this podcast where I'm interviewing and coaching, not interviewing, where I'm coaching people live on the spot, that lights me up. I was put on this planet to coach people. There's no question about it. So what's it for you? What is it that lights you up? That just the thought of being able to do whatever this is and actually get paid for it? I mean, please sign me up 17 times out of 17 times. A job is what you're paid for. A calling is what you're made for. I was made to coach people. There's not a doubt in my mind. So what were you made to do? if you haven't thought about it in a while, you might want to think about it. Because the fact of the matter is the clock's ticking. You know, you don't get a trial. This isn't a trial run. You only get one shot at this thing called life. And if you don't know what lights you up, ask yourself, what are you into? What are your passions? What keeps you up at night? Not stress. Like, what is there a world problem that just like you get so worked up about it that you want to do something about that? Maybe that's it. I don't know. But if you're at a job all day or all week and you just hate your job and you can't find a single thing other than they pay you to like about your job, go find something else to do. Life's too short. I mean, we spend most of our life working. So there's 168 hours in the week. And say you work 50 hours a week. Okay, that's almost a third of your week doing something you absolutely hate. No. Life's too short. Figure something else out quickly. Because you don't want the thank God it's Friday, oh no, it's Monday kind of life. Who wants that? Because, you know, newsflash, after Sunday, Monday's coming. And that's the way it is, you know. But we're going to spend so much of our life working, at least be okay with what you do. Maybe it's just change your mental approach to it. Maybe it's just for a season. You got to grit your teeth for another 2 months or whatever to finish whatever you're doing, and then you can go do something else. Okay. But then try to be a good finder, not a fault finder. Try to find something that you can do. But I would encourage you, at least try to get in your zone of excellence. And if you're there or you're striving to there, just remember, zone of genius is above that, and that's where time flies and you're having so much fun. Okay? And remember that quotation from Les Brown: a job is what you're paid for and a calling is what you're made for. They don't have to be the same. You could have a job that is okay, that maybe gives you some free time with your family or to pursue other pursuits. Or maybe your job and your calling is the same. You know, someone said, instead of spending all of our time thinking about the next vacation, why don't you set up your life where you're basically always on vacation because you love what you do and people actually pay you money for it? Strange concept. And I'll leave you with this. Trent Shelton, I heard him say this at an event a couple weeks ago. Trent Shelton said that right there. Look, you can't be elite with average work ethic. Whew. That'll preach. Can I get an amen can I get an amen on a Wednesday? Okay, so I hope y'all have enjoyed these solo episodes. This was the last of the 7 series of the Ziglar Wheel of Life. I've got other podcasts, obviously, where I'm coaching people. And if you want to be on one of those and you want to have a coaching session, reach out to me and we'll make this happen. So I hope you enjoyed these kind of deep dives into the Ziglar Wheel of Life. And I'm here to help. So if I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out. Y'all have a great one.
David has been a coach basically his entire life. He was made to coach people. He loves seeing people transform their lives through coaching. It's been said that it takes a coach to get you to a place inside yourself that you can't get to by yourself. It's also been said that you're only one conversation away from a completely changed life and that nothing ever happens outside of a conversation. If you'd like to have a conversation with David about where you currently are in life and where you want to go, reach out to him at davidcreel.com.